Thank you so much, Mr. Harmon. Well, I hope, brethren, this has been a very profitable day of trumpets for you. And I hope you had a wonderful lunch. I've already been told by a couple of people that it is my job to make sure they stay awake this afternoon. So let me see if there's something I can do about that right now. Battle stations, battle stations, all crew to your posts. This is not a drill. All hands to battle stations. I don't know if that woke anybody up or not. But when a ship, a naval ship, prepares to go to battle, the call goes out for battle stations. The crew prepares the ship and themselves for whatever might happen next. Tim Hibbets from the U.S. Navy explains in talking to people from the website Quora.com, he says, quote, "When battle stations are called, the ship is in dire straits or is expected to be very soon. Every sailor or Marine with a combat role rushes immediately to their pre-assigned stations. For some, this is a weapons console. Others man a combat information panel or defensive system seat. For the vast majority, though, it's a place where they can respond to any potential damage with the greatest alacrity." End quote. In some arenas, battle stations, the term is also known as general quarters. And another website had this to say about general quarters, quote, "When general quarters is called, all the crew members are supposed to drop whatever they're doing and report to their stations. At the station, all the crew members are assigned duties as required. In the case of battle, the crew members start preparing for battle. The off-duty crew members or the ones sleeping also report to their stations, so everyone's involved. Security is increased, the watertight doors are shut, the engineering rooms and the bridge are guarded. It's basically a lockdown. It could be for facing combat casualties or for reacting and getting alert for combat. Every crew member has a general quarter station where he reports when the GQ is called. It is also called beating to quarters. Other than during a battle, GQ, or general quarters, is also called during heavy fog, storms, and in general, any unexpected danger. General quarters is a state of being alert and prepared for any challenges." End quote. Battle stations is all about getting ready for action or for being prepared. If you'd like a title for the message today, the title is simply Battle Stations. I find it fascinating, just beyond words, how God works in so many ways, in so many things. We've already heard two wonderful messages today that have dealt with the need to prepare for what's coming ahead. And I would like to add to that today with this message. Because the call to battle stations has gone out to us as well. It is a call to action to prepare us for what is coming. We are in a constant battle now to make ourselves ready for the second coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to be ready to join him at his return. And here I'd like to review today the importance and the immediacy of those preparations in our spiritual lives. And I would also like to discuss one aspect in particular that we need to avoid at all costs. But to start with, as has been discussed in the morning messages, the signs are evident in this world of the utter chaos that is about to take place around and in mankind. Certain verses in Matthew 24 have also been read today. I'll just allude to them. Of wars and rumors of wars, we see that now. The societal upheaval, nation rising against nation, kingdom against kingdom, pestilences and earthquakes. Just the beginning of what will come. And following, of course, with what we know in the Bible account, up to the plagues in Revelation, and the things that happen shortly after that, before the return of Jesus Christ. But these signs are falling into place now. Are we paying attention? You know, the trumpet, the battle call, the battle station's call is sounding for us now. Are we hearing it? Are we listening? Are we responding? As we know, and as has been discussed today, we await a momentous event. As the state pictures, again, the return of our King, Jesus Christ, the second coming of our Lord and Savior. Mr. Miller already read this today, but I'm going to read it again. I'm not going to apologize for it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, because I want to pick out a little piece here. And this is more of a review today, but the reminder needs to be sent out. It never gets old about how we need to prepare for what's coming. 1 Thessalonians 4, and I'm just going to read verses 16 and 17. I believe he included that in his reading. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 and 17. I firmly believe that repetition is a wonderful thing. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 16. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. You know, we know that Jesus Christ is coming to reclaim the governments of this world. And we know that we will be there to join him if we answer the call to battle stations when it comes. If we are prepared. In fact, this is what we are preparing for. This is what we anticipate. This is what we look forward to on this day. To prepare ourselves to become the bride of Christ and to be with him at his powerful and glorious second coming. So we need to take stock. How are our preparations coming? How are we doing? Are we spiritually awake and aware of what is going on? And aware of where we are in our relationship with God and Jesus Christ? You know, what do we need to be watching out for? What dangers do we need to be looking at? Because, as we know, we battle against the world and we battle against our own human nature. Now, in making preparation, these are fights that we face. We get called to battle stations when these things come up and we need to deal with them and fight. We do face challenges every day to making ourselves ready. And those challenges can wear us down if we're not careful. One danger I really want to talk about for much of this message is the danger of falling asleep spiritually. Now is not the time to be falling asleep, especially spiritually. According to Webster's dictionary, to sleep or to be asleep is to be, quote, in a state of inactivity, sluggishness, or indifference, end quote. You know, countless people have missed important meetings, they've missed flights, all manner of rendezvous and events in their lives because they've slumbered and slept through their alarm clock, didn't set it at all, and missed important things as a result. And we heard some of that today in the parable of the 10 virgins, as a matter of fact. Excuse me. But those events that I just described, the missing flights and whatever, they're nothing compared to what can be missed for those who are part of the elect. In a spiritual sense, sleep is dangerous because it can cost us our spiritual lives. In Romans chapter 13, there is an admonishment for us to wake up and get busy to answer the call to battle stations. Let's go there. Romans chapter 13. Again, we know these things, but it's good to take them out and dust them off and read and remember. Romans chapter 13, verse 11, this admonishment. And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. We're going to come back to that armor in a little bit. But again, are we keenly aware of what is going on around us and why? You know, we've talked about the things that begin in Matthew 24 and we'll build up from there. Are we aware of what is going on? And even Proverbs warns us of the dangers of not being about the business of preparing ourselves for times ahead. In Proverbs 6 and verses 9 through 11, I'm just going to refer to that here at this point. But the admonishment is that even a little sleep can be dangerous. Where it says a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands, so shall your poverty come on you like a prowler. And that word poverty there in Proverbs is meant as a physical poverty, but there's a spiritual principle there as well. We can be spiritually impoverished if we fall asleep spiritually and let important things go by as a result. The lesson, we cannot relax, we cannot sleep or slumber, we can't take a break. We cannot take a spiritual break and just decide, I am weary, I'm tired, I don't feel well, I'm just not going to do this anymore, or at least for a little while. I'm just going to take a nap over here and I'll come back to my Bible study later. Those are the things that can cost us our spiritual lives if they happen often and long enough. Verse 11 of Romans 13 reminded us that our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. It will come upon us, and we heard this, I believe, in Mr. Kester's message. It can take us by surprise if we're not prepared for it. Even if we know it's coming, we don't know when. So we must always be ready and prepared, as he said. And make no mistake, as human beings with human bodies and human minds, it is all too easy to let it happen. We must let the Spirit of God work in us. Stay close to God. And avoid that spiritual sleep. A couple quotes on sleep. The easiest thing to do in the world is pull the covers up over your head and go back to sleep. There's a gentleman named Dan Gable. And that certainly applies. I know I've been there. Another one says, I'm so good at sleeping that I can do it with my eyes closed. Now that is really an ability there. And it's a quote from that prolific writer named Anonymous. But in terms of what we are discussing here, there's a lot of truth to those statements. This is where we don't want to be spiritually. Again, we don't want to be good at sleep. Because as we know, this is nothing new to anyone, Satan is out and about looking for those who would make themselves victims to him. And asleep is a very easy way to do that. In fact, 1 Peter 5 and verse 8 reminds us of that. Let's go there, please. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. Again, this is review for many of us. 1 Peter 5 and chapter 8, we are warned and admonished here. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And it's so much easier for him to do it to someone who is spiritually asleep. And those two words there, sober and vigilant in the Greek, both essentially mean the same thing. They mean to watch or beware. This is where we want to be. Alert, ready, at battle stations, ready to answer the call, ready to defend, ready to fight, being prepared. Because, again, we know Satan doesn't like us, not at all. He likes nothing that has anything to do with the family of God. And we here are part of that family. He knows what's coming. And Satan wants to take away our place in the kingdom of God, the family of God. He wants us deaf to that call to battle stations. He wants us to miss it. He wants us weary and asleep and not prepared and to not be on guard. He simply doesn't want us there. He'd be all too happy for us to miss that call. But again, we must do our part to prevent this. We must hear the call and take action when we do. Be prepared, as we've heard all morning. Be prepared. Another admonishment from Paul in this regard is again in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It's interesting that there are many, many admonishments in the Bible and specifically in the New Testament against being spiritually asleep. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I'm going to read verses 1 through 6. Again, that's a warning about the times that we're living in. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night or of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. There are those words again. Another admonishment to be observant, to be awake, to be alert, and not let Satan have what he wants with us. You know, back in Romans 13 and verse 12, we were told to put on the armor of light. That armor of light, as we know, will help us guard against sleep and false security, thinking we're in a good place. Oh, I know everything I need to know. I don't have to worry about gaining any more knowledge. I'll just take a nap. No. But let's go and revisit what that armor of light is all about. Ephesians chapter 6, please. Ephesians chapter 6, again, familiar, but so necessary to revisit. Ephesians chapter 6, and we'll just read verses 11 through 17 and see what this armor of light entails. Ephesians 6 and verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Put that armor on and prepare yourself for battle. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Now here are the defense weapons. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and your offensive weapon, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, which we can do battle with against Satan, his minions, and those who would follow his way. Because we who are called now, we are doing battle, as we know, with Satan, with his minions, as well with our own human nature. We don't know what comes next, do we? Things happen out of the blue. We never know what trial is going to hit us, what difficulty is going to hit us, what surprise is going to come into our lives. We must be awake, ready, and prepared to deal with those things. A soldier going into battle will not last long without some form of protection. He will not be ready for combat or defending himself. Because without that armor, we are hopelessly exposed to the weapons of our adversary and vulnerable to the whims of our own human nature. I think we know this on some level, but we will be ill-equipped to fight the battle we're called to fight. We don't want to be there. And we know the battle that we fight. In 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3, I think I will go ahead and go there. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3, we get a little glimpse of the battle we fight here. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. Read through verse 6. But this battle that we fight, if we're wearing that armor, we will succeed. We will win. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, those things we fight against. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. You know, part of being ready is appraising that spiritual condition. What is our spiritual condition? Are we armed and ready to defend, to fight? Or are we asleep? Are we in a state where we just don't care? And how is our armor? Are we taking care of it? Is it in good condition? Are all the pieces there? Are we wearing it correctly? Will it withstand combat with the enemy? In other words, is our spiritual house in order? Will we be ready to deflect those fiery darts we just read about? Because, frankly, we're being judged now. We know that, as to how well we are doing in those preparations. 1 Peter 4 and verse 17, I'll just refer to it, but it tells us that judgment is now on the house of God. God is watching us, and he tries us and tests us, as we know, to see how ready we are, how prepared we are to deal with evils and difficulties that come across our way, and how well we respond to the call to battle stations, how ready we will be. So the question is, what kind of soldier are we shaping up to be? And will we be ready to answer that call to battle stations, or will we go AWOL when the going gets tough? Will we be ready to join Jesus Christ when he returns? Will we be one of the wise virgins that was heard about earlier in Matthew chapter 25? Or will we be out buying oil, looking for the knowledge, looking for God's presence, his spirit in our lives, out shopping when the call comes? Will that be us? Will that be us? Because if we are to be ready, if we are to be prepared, we know what to do. We need to be putting on the fruits of God's Holy Spirit. We must get and stay close to God through prayer, study, meditation, fasting, learning and practicing about those fruits of the Holy Spirit, those things that are God, those things that are of God that should be part of us. Making him, God, and his law of love priority one in our lives. Keeping spiritually awake, eyes open, and not let whatever is going on in the world or whatever is going on in our own lives, none of that, we cannot let any of that tear us away from him. We must get that armor and put it on. And you know, Jesus Christ is hard at work too. He's preparing too. He's preparing to receive us. He's preparing to receive his bride. He's readying a home for us. You know, at his first coming, before his death, he told the disciples in John chapter 14 that he's at work too for us. He is preparing for our arrival. John 14 and chapter 2. We'll just read verses 2 and 3. He's talking to the disciples here, trying to assure them. In verse 2, he says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." He will come again and receive us to him. So he prepares a place for us to be his servants, to be his bride, to be part of the family of God. Again, many mansions in his Father's house. Wonderful place to be. We want to be there. He and God the Father are anxious for us to be there. But if we want to be there, we will have to survive the battles that are ahead. We must make our calling and election sure if we're going to be there. 2 Peter 1, I think some of this was read today. 2 Peter 1, but I just want to read verses 5 through 8. It's titled Fruitful Growth in the Faith. Yes, I believe this was read earlier today, but again, I'll read it. "But also for this reason, this very reason, verse 5, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. In other words, fortify your armor. Fortify your spiritual armor with these wonderful godly traits. Make them a part of you. Make them a part of your ability to defend against the fiery darts. Make sure that these are ready to be put in place when you answer the call to battle stations. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I think I'll read a little further here. Let's go to verse 9. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. That can happen if we fall asleep spiritually. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. Your armor will keep you. You will be able to face the battles, and you will be prepared for whatever comes. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Brethren, don't allow yourselves to waste away spiritually. Do not allow that to happen, especially when things get tough and difficult. Do not fall asleep while waiting for action, as we have heard earlier today. When we answer the call to battle stations, sometimes the action doesn't come right away. Sometimes we have to stay on full alert for an extended period of time, being ready for whatever might come. And as we heard again this morning, things don't always happen right away. But we still need to make sure our armor is fully charged and ready to go, that we will be able to meet the challenge when it comes. So arm yourselves. Be prepared for battle. Make sure all these things, these good and godly characteristics, are part of your spiritual armor. Because, brethren, we're assured Christ will come. He will return to this earth, and he will put down the kingdoms of this world, as we know from Matthew chapter 24, a lot of the things that happen there. And we, the saints, those who were prepared, those who were ready, those who answered the call to battle stations, will be there with him. We are assured of this. We are told this. Let's go ahead and go to Matthew 24. I want to read a few sections out of that, although we have addressed it a few times. Matthew chapter 24. I want to read verses 29 through 31. 29 through 31. As a bit of encouragement, actually. Matthew chapter 24, verses 29 through 31. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn. They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect, us, those who have answered the call to battle stations, from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. And truly, this is where we want to be. This is where we ultimately want to be, at the side of our husband, Jesus Christ, ready to serve alongside him, helping him bring humanity back to God. You know, today we celebrate this soon coming event, the triumphant return of Jesus Christ to this earth, looking forward to a time when this evil, hurt-filled world and age of man will end, when the evil kingdoms of the world will be put down, and the time where true, loving, just, godly government will be established and healing can begin. But we have work to do, don't we? I do. We must be prepared to do it. So will we be there? Will we be ready when the call to battle stations come?